Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from Bill Belichick's Learn to Smile Camp, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jenna and the Sherpa. Jenna, I hope you've been smiling a lot with your fantasy teams lately. How did your week go?
Actually, pretty good. I mean, you know, we could have done without a few injuries, but for the most part, we ended up victorious. I'll take it. How about yours?
I'm still kind of in this middle ground where I seem to win two and lose two every week, which is not exactly a launching pad for doing a podcast. But hopefully, not how we drew it up,
huh?
For my results, my results will improve in short order. But anyway, here we are, bye weeks upon us.
We've reached our favorite part of the season, the bye weeks.
Well, if you're
it feels like they come sooner
draft,
and sooner.
But...
Yeah, that's true. You're already a top five pick, though, so you got that going for you.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully that'll last, but or not last, but anyway, we'll see.
But I mean,
I'm not sure what I want.
Well, that sounds like being a Giants fan right now.
Yeah.
I had someone text me today and at like 4 o'clock and be like, I have the weirdest feeling. I feel like somewhere Daniel Jones is getting sacked right now. It's true, though. That was a tough one. That was a tough one for your Giants. I'm sorry about that. Daniel Jones didn't deserve that.
Might be getting sacked soon if the results don't improve a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, it's not totally out of the blue, pun not intended, but you could definitely see them regressing this year. But the hope was that even if they had a little less luck in the close games this year, they'd still be something close to a playoff team, but that doesn't appear to be the case, sadly. But your Cowboys against the Patriots, that was fun to watch.
Well, I mean, another quarterback I felt bad for was Mac Jones. I don't necessarily think he deserved what happened to him, but yeah, that was definitely a much better showing than the prior week, so let's see if we can hang on this week. I'm not so sure with San Francisco. I don't think it's going to be quite the same game. But Jerry Jones thinks the path to Super Bowl runs through San Francisco. So I guess they have that endorsement, which I'm sure 49ers fans were dying for.
Probably right, at least at this point. But we'll see.
I mean, it's hard to argue.
I mean,
I wouldn't want to see Christian McCaffrey on the other side of a football. Yeah.
Buffalo, San Francisco, I mean, who would it be? I don't know. San Francisco seems to me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Dallas still has. And sure, here we are talking like we know what's going to happen in January and early
of
October.
Of course we do. Isn't that why everyone's here?
I was just here for the free coffee.
Blue joining us today. Speaking of free,
no,
the little freeloader in your house.
He's in timeout right now, but anyway, he's
perpetually
in, like
in timeout.
90-minute timeout, but
well, despite the fact that the bye week is upon us, we do have quite a bit going on for you this week. Yeah, there you go. He's one of the early buys. We've got a whole hour. It's possible. As Mia exits stage left, all the cats have taken a bye this week. I guess there's not enough cat teams playing, maybe. But we do have an action-packed show. We've got everything for you. The waiver wire is going to be supremely important this week. It was already a little thin. Now we got four teams not playing this week. So certainly some hurdles. Sherpa's going to help us fill the holes due to injury, contract holdouts, you know, hauntings, whatever it might be. We're going to get it taken care of. We're going to tell you who to start, who to sit. We've got daily fantasy picks. We're going to give you game predictions. We're probably not going to agree on a whole lot of them. And, of course, the always lovely injury report. But, like I said, we're here with you for a full hour, probably a little more because we're occasionally a little long-winded. But in case that isn't enough for you, you can find us all week long all over social media. We are on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. We're on Twitter / X, whatever you at the number 4 THN Inches Show. That's the number 4 THN Inches Show. You can also find us at JKIM16 and Fantasy _ Sherpa. You can figure out who's who there. You can email us at the number 4 THN Inches Show at gmail.com. That's the number 4 THN Inches Show at gmail.com. And we're here with you every Tuesday night from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, after the fact, you can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. We're here to make commutes a little bit easier. And, of course, there's just so many good nuggets of information. One listen might not be enough. You might need more than one. So we're available.
For me, I listen more than once just because my reading comprehension isn't that great. But
it can be a struggle here.
Yeah.
We're hoping to take you from potential dumpster fire, teetering on the edge of defeat, waiver wire, you know, not having priorities. We're going to figure it out for you. We're going to get you back to championship caliber. It's week 5. There's still time. We can turn this around. For those of you at the top, welcome. You know, everyone can use a little extra help. We're here. We do have 4 teams on a bye this week. The Browns, the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers. So we are down 2 games, several healthy humans. I guess Deshaun Watson gets a little bit longer to heal. Justin Herbert's finger can heal. We'll figure it out. But we will just get the fun stuff over with. Dive right into the injuries. See how bad it's going to look before we go to the waiver wire. We'll start out in Arizona where things are actually pretty calm, you know, despite the fact that they're not that good. But the biggest news injury-wise is that Kyler Murray, we talked about, wasn't expected to return off the PUP list when he was first eligible. They confirmed he's not going to come off this week when he's first eligible. He's still considered, quote, weeks away from playing. It doesn't sound like they're too optimistic about this being anytime soon. Joshua Dobbs is doing a fine job, just as good as I think Kyler Murray would be doing. So they're going to take their time on him. If you have him stashed, keep him stashed a while longer. Out in Atlanta, they're coming back from Andy's room across the pond and all of the animated madness that was. They're actually made it out of England pretty healthy. One thing to keep an eye on is linebacker Troy Anderson, which they're already a little thin at linebacker, is dealing with a torn pectoral muscle. He's having surgery. He's going to be out 4 to 6 months, so linebackers are not going to be any healthier out there. In Baltimore, we could probably have a whole episode just on the Baltimore Ravens injury report every week, but to give you the highlights or lowlights, depending how you're looking at it, right tackle Ronnie Stanley did not play last week. They thought maybe he was on track to. He's been battling through a knee injury, but he was a late inactive. They're going to wait and see again until game time this week. Certainly, it'd be nice to get a little healthier before going into the Steelers' defense. Not that the Steelers are scaring a ton of people, but that defense is not one you want getting at Lamar untouched. Also on the defensive side of things, Marlon Humphrey did not play last week. He was someone they were hoping to get back. He's dealing with a foot injury. Again, we're going to be touch and go here. In the wide receiver core, they were without Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham Jr. last week. Could go either way on them again. Bateman's dealing with a strained hamstring. Odell Beckham Jr.'s got the always lovely high ankle sprain. This is a marquee game. He tends to show up for those, so I wouldn't be shocked if he was active. I don't know if he's someone you want in your fantasy lineup, but we'll wait and see how things go as the week progresses. The worst news probably of all is linebacker David Ojabo. He's on IR. They were hoping to get him back. He's dealing with ankle and knee injuries. But this week, John Harbaugh said he might not be back at all this season. He's going to have another couple of doctors look at him, but it's not looking like he's going to have much of a season, if any, which is not great for somebody who took in the first round and 2 years he's played 2 games. Let's move on to Buffalo, where things are marginally healthier. Unfortunately, they did lose cornerback Tre'Davious White to a torn Achilles tendon in the game on Sunday against the Dolphins. Not a lot went wrong for the Bills, but that was probably the worst thing that happened to them. Also, Von Miller is going to be back at practice this week. His practice window is officially opening. He's been dealing with the torn ACL coming back. They're probably not going to activate him this week. They said he's not going to be ready right away, but the fact that we're opening the practice window means he's in the near future. So that's good for Bills fans. Out in Carolina, wide receiver Jonathan Mingo did not get cleared out of the concussion protocol for Sunday's game. As of now, he's still in the protocol. They're hoping he's going to be cleared by this weekend, but by next week, but we'll see how it goes. Also, keep an eye on cornerback Dante Jackson. He left the game last week with a shoulder injury. They're calling him questionable. Not sure yet how serious it is, but something to keep an eye on. Their secondary really can use all help it can get. In Chicago, we saw a really, really heartbreaking loss for the Bears. Things didn't get a lot better when the injury report came out after the game. Safety Eddie Jackson is dealing with a foot injury. He's planning to play on Thursday. They have a short week going to Washington to see the Commanders, but he says he's planning on playing. Tackle Tevin Jenkins was designated to return from IR yesterday. He was dealing with a calf injury, so they're hoping that he will be back in that lineup sooner rather than later. Again, the Bears can take all the help they can get at this point. Maybe play calling, also something you want to look at, but I digress. Out in Cincinnati, things aren't going a whole heck of a lot better there. T. Higgins is dealing with a fractured rib. He said yesterday that he doesn't think this is going to keep him out for an extended period of time or maybe at all. He is still not ruling out the chance of playing on Sunday in Arizona. Ribs are tough. That's really a pain tolerance thing. It sounds like he's motivated to get out there. He is in a contract year. That is important to remember. Also, the Bengals are terrible right now. So I don't know if I had a fractured rib, if I'd be going out there, but that might be why I'm not in the NFL. Also, I'm only 5'4". There's a whole number of issues, but that might just be one of them. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow not showing up in their injury report. We all know that calf is not 100% healthy, and that offensive line is still terrible. So, again, things to keep in mind when you're setting your lineup. In Cleveland, we're coming into a bye week, but it was worth noting that quarterback Deshaun Watson scratched himself pregame. Interesting that after the game, it was made a point to be told to the media that he was medically cleared to play, and he decided that he didn't feel ready, which, good for him. If you're not ready, you don't think you can help your team. But it is interesting that people are noting he's played through a lot worse injuries, and you know, this was kind of a big game, and look around at what Joe Burrow is doing. It's an interesting other side of the coin to, do you play through injury to the detriment of your team, or do you be the bigger person and say, hey, I'm not going to be helpful, let's have old DTR go out there, which didn't go great either. But neither here nor there, a debate for another time. They are also dealing
between an arm injury and a leg injury, too, because
this is true. And
Joe Burrow can still throw the ball, versus Deshaun Watson.
In theory,
I'm not entirely sure he's situation like that, because I don't know what they're feeling.
And it's interesting to me also that the shoulder wasn't the actual only injury he sustained. That's just the only one he's on the injury report for. He took a lot of big hits that week, and he didn't throw it all during the week, so clearly it's bigger than just a bruise. I don't know if I would have rather he go out there and look like Derek Carr did. So keep an eye on it. We're not sure how serious it is, how it's going to impact him going forward. Also, keep an eye on center Ethan Pozick. He's day-to-day with a knee injury. He got knocked out of the game on Sunday, so not having a starting center, not having a quarterback. These are things you certainly want to keep an eye on. Also, defensive end
Deshaun
Miles Garrett.
Watson, though, at least. I was just going to, if I can butt in for a second, he scratched himself. That gives him something in common with me and Blue.
True. Blue does scratch himself late in the game. He's right up to game time. We never know if he's going to show up or not.
GTD, yeah.
We're all day-to-day. We really all are. I always laugh when people say that was an injury designation. It's like, yeah, so is everyone else on the planet. We're all figuring it out. Speaking of day-to-day, also Myles Garrett officially being listed day-to-day with a left foot injury. He is going to be fine. They have a bye week also. Myles Garrett just doesn't take himself out of games. Not a knock on Deshaun Watson, just Myles Garrett's going to be out there. Dorian Thompson-Robinson got his debut last week. Did not go the way he thought it was going to. It was a tough matchup, but they have the bye week to regroup and try to get that figured out. the Cowboys, we had some good things. we had some bad things. Tackle Tyron Smith is, quote, iffy. That's a new injury designation out of Dallas. We're now calling guys iffy. With a knee injury for Sunday's game, obviously it would be a whole heck of a lot better if he was out there, and preferably if he dressed, if he actually played. Those would be real positives for the Cowboys. Micah Parsons did get knocked out of the game briefly. They're calling it a knee injury. He's planning on playing on Sunday. Zach Martin, guard, who just came back from injury, now dealing with a bruised quad. He was knocked out of the game, questionable coming into this week, as is running back Rico Dowdle, who's been diagnosed with a hip contusion following an MRI, so not more serious, but certainly something to keep an eye on in deeper leagues, especially. Out in Denver, they stole a win this week. They did, unfortunately, lose running back Devontae Williams. He was knocked out of the game with a hip injury. They're saying it's a hip flexor injury, and he's planning on playing. That's probably going to go down to game time. I don't think it's a for sure you can pencil him in the lineup, but he's certainly on the right track, not as serious as they thought it was going to be. In Detroit, dealing with a lot of injuries to the defense, especially safeties and linebackers, really not a lot of depth there right now. On the offensive side of the ball, though, they're pretty healthy, knock on wood. That is a good thing. In Green Bay, tight end Luke Musgrave is in the concussion protocol. He was at practice today. It was limited, so we're at least on the right track to potentially playing this week. Guard John Runyon was knocked out of the game with an ankle sprain. He's certainly going to go either way, so that offensive line could certainly use some help. They're also going to be without David Bakhtiari, most notably Aaron Rodgers' BFF. He's going to be out for a while after another arthroscopic knee surgery. They're trying to get him on the docket for another surgery in a couple of weeks so that they might have a chance for having him play this season. Doesn't sound super promising to me, but you never know. Also, cornerback Jair Alexander is dealing with a back injury. He's officially listed as questionable. There are some real questions about how serious this is and how much time he's potentially going to miss because they started bringing in cornerbacks for workouts today. So keep an eye on that. That's a big part of that defense that we would certainly like to not be without. In Texas, down in Houston, it looks like tackle Larry Tunsil is optimistic he's going to play this week. He's been dealing with a knee injury, hasn't been on the field in a couple of weeks, but that would certainly give that O-line a boost. Also, center Kendrick Green is potentially not going to be playing this week. He was knocked out of the game on Sunday against the Steelers with a knee injury. Right now he's listed as questionable, so keep an eye on that. You never like having a center away from a rookie quarterback, who CJ Stroud's doing all right, though. In Indianapolis, tight end Jelani Woods is going on injured reserve. He's still on it. He's staying on it. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. They're not opening his practice window yet. He's not going to be activated this week for the game for the Titans. However, running back Jonathan Taylor is officially going to begin practicing tomorrow with the team. Not entirely sure how much, what capacity, if he's going to decide to play, we don't know. But keep an eye on it. I know Sherpa's fantasy team could certainly use a healthy running back or two. But that ankle injury, he says he's fine. We're going to find out pretty soon. Center Ryan Kelly did not play last week with a concussion. And quarterback Sam Ellinger, just in case you're really hurting and in a deep league or, you know, you're my fantasy team, and you like having backup quarterbacks, he is going to stay inactive for the foreseeable future. Gardner Minshew is going to be the second quarterback there, so don't be alarmed for Minshew Mania fans. Everything is safe. In Kansas City, I don't know if you've heard about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Don't worry, we're not rehashing it here. We are worried more about the Chiefs secondary, who is dealing with quite a few injuries. A lot of soft tissue, a lot of quads, a lot of hamstrings. So keep an eye on that as the week goes. That's more so for you gambling fans who are trying to cover a point spread that Patrick Mahomes is not trying to do you any favors on. In Las Vegas, we were without quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo last week. The Aiden O'Connell experience did not go great. We're going to see if Jimmy gets out of concussion protocol this week. He is uncertain. They're really not sure how it's going to go. The next 2 days will be pretty pivotal, so keep an eye on that. Also, their secondary is pretty banged up. That is a reoccurring theme. Stop me if you've heard it before. Out in Los Angeles, Well, we saw some things from the Chargers, one of them being Justin Herbert suffering a fractured middle finger. It's his non-throwing hand kind of affects how he holds the football, and ideally it would be nice if he could stop getting sacked so much so that he could maybe stop following on it, but got his hand caught in someone's face mask. It wasn't great. Running back Austin Eckler did not play last week. There was thought maybe he would. So, again, we're going to play he's going to be questionable right up until game time, so have a plan B. Still dealing with that ankle injury. Joey Bosa also still questionable. Just keep an eye on things. Tight end Donald Parham Jr. Was diagnosed with a sprained wrist after some x-rays following his exit out of the game on Sunday. They thought it might be worse than it was, so luckily he will hopefully not miss too much time. They certainly need some healthy bodies out there. On the other side of town, the Rams, Matt Stafford is still Matt Stafford. Can't walk, but he's going to guide you to an overtime win. That's just what he does. He's officially dealing with a hip contusion. He's planning to play. He didn't leave the game. He couldn't really walk. It's fine. He seems unconcerned. We're going to let it happen. He played with a fractured back. This is nothing. Running back Kyren Williams is officially questionable. He suffered a bruised hip during the game, so keep an eye on him coming into the week. Tight end Tyler Higbee is, quote, banged up. He got his thumb banged up. He's questionable. He's probably going to play, barring some kind of setback. It doesn't sound terribly serious. And I don't know if you've heard, they have this guy, Cooper Kupp, little-known wide receiver on the team. He's been on injured reserve with a hamstring injury. He is going to start practicing this week. There is thought he is going to be activated and play this week against the Eagles. We will talk a little bit more about that when we get to the start and sit, whether Sherpa and I think that's a great idea. In Miami, this week did not go quite as well as last week did for them. They were on the wrong side of a beatdown, and the defense got a little banged up, might be hurt feelings, little bit of injuries, a little bit of both. But also worth noting, wide receiver River Craycraft officially on injured reserve with a shoulder injury, so those garbage time looks, I guess, are all going to go to Braxton Berrios now, so good for him. In Minnesota, pretty healthy. This team has actually stayed remarkably healthy. One item to note, center Garrett Bradbury is questionable, but he's playing through it, so we were going to anticipate he's going to continue to do that. In New England, the biggest news was not Mac Jones getting benched, who is still going to be your starter this week, but linebacker Matthew Judon is having surgery tomorrow to repair a bicep tear, partial tear, depending if you ask. They said he's expecting to miss at least 2 months, but plans to be back before the season's over. That sounds like madness to me, but also Matthew Judon is a different type of human, so good for him. Also keep an eye on cornerback Jonathan Jones, who's still banged up and dealing with injuries. The defense definitely needs to get a little healthier, needs a little help. We'll see if maybe this week will get a little better for them. In New Orleans, as we alluded to, Derek Carr of the sprained AC joint did play last week, and it went about as well as expected. He is going to keep playing through this. whether that means he's somebody you want to start your lineup, I don't know, but for what it's worth, he'll be on the field. Tight end Juwan Johnson is also pretty questionable. He was knocked out of the game with a calf injury. That looks like that may be something that's going to cause him to miss a game or two, so keep an eye on that. And we did not have running back Jamal Williams last week dealing with that hamstring injury, so keep an eye on that coming out of the next couple of weeks. He's officially on IR, but hoping he's going to be back this season. It was more a roster move issue than anything else, so we'll see how that goes. In New York, Sherpa's Giants, there might be good news. There might be some. Saquon Barkley is officially questionable, not doubtful, for this week. So that's something. We're hoping it gets a little healthier. The Giants could use it. Also, tight end Daniel Bellinger was knocked out of the game on Monday with a knee injury. The tush push, as some call it, was not great for the Giants. Not only did it not get them the first down, but two players got injured because of it. So keep an eye on that. I think we're going to try to practice that a little bit better this week. On the other side of town, Aaron Rodgers made some waves this week, really this afternoon on the Pat McAfee show. He says he is rehabbing very aggressively. He's ahead of schedule, and he's targeting a return to action during the playoffs. So he's hoping the team stays competitive until that point when he can ride in and take them to victory on his one leg. I mean, I guess that's a great plan, but
we'll have something to say about that.
We'll see how that goes. I guess we're all still optimistic in week five. Eagles are a little banged up. Wide receiver Kez Watkins was inactive last week. Questionable going into this weekend. Center Cam Jurgens is doubtful. He's probably going to be out the next couple of weeks. He suffered a foot sprain and was knocked out of the game with the Commanders. He is a big boy, and that was not a good-looking sprain, so I wouldn't be shocked if he's out for the next couple of weeks. Also, wide receiver slash return man Britton Covey was knocked out with a head injury. He's officially in the concussion protocol. Could go either way. Keep an eye on as the week goes. But again, really only if you're in a very deep league do you need to be starting him. In Pittsburgh, things were not great. Tight end Pat Freiermuth is doubtful, probably going to be out for a week or so. He got pretty banged up. Kenny Pickett was really the big name. He had some tests done on the knee. It looked bad, but they're saying that he might play this week, that things might be okay. It's a bruise. He's scheduled to practice in some capacity. That's a direct quote from Mike Tomlin. Tomorrow, we'll see how that goes over the next couple of days. Again, probably not the best matchup, even if you were healthy, but we're not going to know for a while, really until game time, how far this is really going to go. In San Francisco, running back Elijah Mitchell is being viewed as a day-to-day with a knee injury. I'm sure some of you forgot he was on this team behind Christian McCaffrey and his four touchdowns. Also dealing with a couple of injuries to the defense, but, you know, if he keeps scoring touchdowns, I guess that becomes less of an issue. The Seahawks in Monday Night Football last night suffered a couple of tough injuries and potential near misses. Geno Smith got tackled, twisted up. They're calling it a bruised knee, sprained knee, whoever you ask. They're saying it's not that serious. He only missed two plays. He came back. Seahawks feel it was a dirty hit. Giants don't. That's okay. Geno Smith looks like he's going to be fine for this week. Safety Jamal Adams, we were all excited, finally came back and was promptly knocked out of the game with a concussion. They're optimistic he's going to play this week, so we'll see if he officially gets out of the concussion protocol or how that's going to go. But right now, they think it's trending in the right direction. Also lost a couple of guards, defensive tackle Jerron Reed. He was carted off with a leg injury. Damian Lewis left with a leg injury. Phil Hayes has a calf injury. It was not a good time to be a lineman and have legs, basically. So keep an eye on those. really just covering the whole gamut there.
Yeah.
Buccaneers lost Mike Evans mid-game with what they're calling a tweaked hamstring. Questionable going into this week. Probably going to be a game-time decision. Also, safety Ryan Neal was knocked out with a concussion. Keep an eye on that as well. In Tennessee, Treylon Burks was not active last week. Keep an eye on him. Again, certainly a deeper option for you. Wide receiver Kyle Phillips is officially designated to return from IR. He's been on there with a knee injury. Tight end Josh Weil is going to be out with an ankle injury. He was ruled out pretty early on in that Bengals game. Doesn't look like he's on track to play this week, but keep an eye on it. Down in Washington. Yeah, exactly. Commanders got a little beat up. They seem to have the flu going through the locker room, so don't be alarmed if you don't see guys practicing. But Jahan Dotson and Curtis Samuel were both limited today with ankle and quad injuries, respectively. And I think that is the end of our injury report. So everyone take a deep breath. You can stop eating your Thanksgiving turkey. I think we're going to get to the real meat and potatoes of this and get some waiver wire picks. How are you feeling about that, Sherpa?
Usually I feel pretty good about that, but this week just
is tough.
Between bad matchups and bye weeks, I don't have as long a list as I was hoping to have, but I'll share with you what I do have. As far as running backs go, the two that would be at the top of my list would be Jaleel McLaughlin with Denver and Tyjae Spears with Tennessee, which maybe is indicative of the fact that this might not be the greatest week to be dumpster diving for a running back on your waiver wire. Justice Hill
for
Baltimore, also a reasonable option. A couple others that I like generally but don't have good matchups this week are Jalen Warren with Pittsburgh and Chuba Hubbard with Carolina. some others to consider. I mean, I'm guessing nobody dropped Jonathan Taylor in your league unless you're playing in some really unusual league that doesn't have, you know, a bench spot or doesn't have IR spots or something like that. But on the off chance, obviously be a pickup for me. Same thing with Jeff Wilson in Miami. And then a little bit lesser known but potentially valuable is Keaton Mitchell with Baltimore, as you alluded to, between you know, all the running back injuries they've had there, and you know, who really knows if Gus Edwards and Justice Hill are going to be able to stay healthy. So maybe Keaton Mitchell gets a chance. But anyway, did I miss anyone from your list, or is there anyone you
Unfortunately, no, because the list is thin. it's rough out there. McLaughlin, I think, is very interesting. I don't love the matchup this week, but I think he is interesting going forward. Javonte Williams has not been a picture of healthy over his career, as much as it pains me. So I think he could get some interesting looks.
Okay, and moving on to wide receiver, couple, probably my two biggest recommendations are one, Michael Wilson, who I cut in a league last week where you can only make one move a week in Dynasty League, and I picked him up and dropped him, and of course he had two touchdowns in his career game.
The only way.
But, he would be one, and then Romeo Dubs with Green Bay would be the other highly recommended guy for this week. Some other recommendations with decent matchups this week would include Jaden Reed with Green Bay, Michael Gallup with Dallas, Josh Reynolds with Detroit, and I wouldn't be too worried about Jameson Williams coming back, but we'll see there. And Darius Davis with the Chargers, who I wouldn't put too much stock in the run game action that he got there last week, but might still be a viable receiver for them. And a couple other guys that are on my list, but not necessarily as guys I'd want to start this week, are Nick Westbrook-Ikhine with Tennessee and Terrace Marshall Jr.
Like
with Carolina. And again, I doubt anybody dropped Cooper Kupp, but if somebody has had a lot of good fortune and is stacked at wide receiver and has him coming off the injury list this week, he might be a decent trade target, or you know, one of the guys who he'd be displacing might be a decent trade target too. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen to Puka Nacua when Cooper Kupp comes back. And
I am too, because he's running his routes, he's getting his looks. Like, how do you tell him, listen, we're gonna throw to you three times less than we are now for a guy who's maybe healthy? Yes, he is great, but like, Puka Nacua is on fire right now. Like, how do you change what he's doing in that lineup? I just don't like it.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. So moving on to quarterback, two options that I like a lot this week are C.J. Stroud with Houston and Sam Howell with Washington, although he's got the Thursday night game, which I know you love. Joshua Dobbs, now that you know Kyler Murray is not going to be in this week. And then I don't love the matchup, but if you're really desperate and don't have other options, maybe try Zach Wilson. But again, that's a much lower priority than the other guys.
Yes.
He looked okay, but I don't know. If he does it a few more times, then maybe I'll start to believe it. But, and then if your quarterback situation is good right now, you're not up against any bye week issues and you have a roster spot to play with, I still think Kyler Murray might be a decent stash if you have the roster room.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I mean, he's going to be back at some point, and Joshua Dobbs is doing great, but there's no way you're paying Kyler Murray all that money to just hang out. Although sometimes I wonder in Arizona.
Well, they did that with Joshua. Well, they didn't do it with Joshua Rosen because he was only 1 year into his rookie contract when they replaced him with Kyler Murray. But that's another story for another day.
Moving on to tight ends,
the two options that I really like a lot this week are Jake Ferguson with Dallas and Zach Ertz with Arizona, both widely available. Dalton Schultz finally showed some signs of life for the Texans this past week, and you figured that C.J. Stroud was going to connect with him at some point. And then some other options, only if you're desperate, because I don't like the matchups this week, with Cole Kmet with Chicago, Jonnu Smith with Atlanta, and Tyler Conklin with the Jets.
Yeah, yeah. Cole Kmet, he finds his way into the end zone. I think it's not a bad idea. Maybe this week isn't the week, but he certainly is getting looks, and they seem to be trying their damnedest to throw the football, despite the fact it's not really working.
Yeah, I mean, I was really high on Dalton Schultz coming into the season, and actually cut him already in one league just because there were some of these rookie tight ends that are doing really well. For some reason, Sam Laporta was on the waiver wire in that.
Oh, well, I can't blame you for that. Yeah.
And dropped Dalton Schultz for that. So that, to me, I wouldn't say it was a no-brainer, but I didn't have to think too hard and wait too long about that one. But and then defensively, if you look. If you're looking to stream a defense this week, the two that I like the most are widely available are Washington, home against Chicago on Thursday night, and then Detroit, home against Carolina on Sunday. Some other generally available options with good matchups this week include Denver against the Jets, home against the Jets, Miami, home against the Giants, Houston on the road at Atlanta, and Arizona home against a banged-up Cincinnati team. So if you're looking to stream a defense, there are a handful of pretty appealing options.
There's one good thing on the waiver wire this week, and it is defenses, mostly because everybody's injured.
So should we get into some position top tens and avoid lists?
Yes. I'm curious to see how we break these down this week. I think we might have some interesting lists. Bye weeks always throw us into a tizzy.
I don't know. I didn't find that many what I would consider close games this week. I mean, maybe a handful, but I'll put our over under for a number of picks we agree on this week. If there's 14 games, I'll put our over under at 10.
Okay, that feels like it.
On the number we agree with, so let's check back later and see how we did.
I might take the over.
Okay,
feeling wild.
Running backs. So, who are your top 10 running backs for this week?
Well, I think it's Christian McCaffrey, and then there's everyone else. It's hard to put anyone else at number one right now. I've got Josh Jacobs at a kind of distant second. I like the matchup against Green Bay. Kyren Williams with Philly at home, that Philly defense has not been quite what I thought and what it should be. Bijan Robinson at 4 and Tony Pollard at 5. David Montgomery all the way up at 6. Devon Achane at 7. Saquon Barkley, if he plays, at 8. If not, bump Alvin Kamara up from 9. DeAndre Swift from 10. And throw Travis Etienne in at the new 10, but it seems like Saquon may play, and it might just be to make sure Daniel Jones doesn't die, which I'm fine with. I think that's admirable.
You're fine with him dying, you're fine with him playing so that he doesn't die?
So that he doesn't die. I like Daniel Jones. I would be happy with him as my quarterback, but, you know, I'm stuck with Dak Prescott and Trey Lance. Not wishing death on Daniel Jones, just for the record.
Cooper Rush is still there, too, if you're... But anyway.
I'm a big Cooper Rush fan.
So for
big
me,
fan.
So for me, Christian McCaffrey also at the top of my list. I have David Montgomery at 2 and former Lions running back DeAndre Swift at 3. Isaiah Pacheco at 4. Tony Pollard 5. James Cook 6. Damian Pierce 7. Raheem Mostert and teammate Devon Achane at 8 and 9, respectively. And then Kyren Williams, if he's healthy enough to play, at 10. Honorable mentions this week for James Conner, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, and Ramondre Stevenson.
Okay. All right. We're not too terribly far off here.
Who are you avoiding this week?
Well, I want to avoid pretty much everything that has anything to do with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I'm not interested in Jalen Warren. I'm not interested in Najee Harris. Not interested in really anything happening there right now, but for running back purposes, we'll stop there. Javonte Williams in Denver, as I talked about, not sure how healthy he is. Don't love the matchup. The rookies are interesting. It's just not a very high-scoring game. A.J. Dillon in Green Bay, I'm staying away from this week. Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, Rashad Penny, anyone else who wants to put on a helmet and pretend they're running back for the Eagles, just anyone not named DeAndre Swift, just don't start. Zach Moss, Antonio Gibson, Jaleel McLaughlin, as I talk about how much I like him, I don't love the matchup, as we mentioned before, Latavius Murray, Devin Singletary, and Jerick McKinnon. Kind of happy Isaiah Pacheco is sort of like a part of the action again in Kansas City.
Yeah, that is, he had that one impressive touchdown.
Better than nothing.
So for me, Derrick Henry coming in at the top of my avoid list, which might be a little surprising given how well his team did last week, but not expecting a repeat this week. Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Miles Sanders, Breece Hall,
like
Dalvin Cook. I don't like either of them.
Alexander Mattison.
Pardon?
Giving him a little flair. I like that, Saunders.
Yeah. I am getting confused with John Saunders, I think, the ESPN former announcer. Alexander Mattison. I think he's not likely to be active this week.
Probably not.
Khalil Herbert, Najee Harris, and Jalen Warren combo, and then Chuba Hubbard, also avoid, and Tyler Algier and Matt Breida also my dishonorable mention this week.
There you go. I mean, we made it like almost three quarters of a show before like really going off the rails. This is actually pretty good for us so far.
Yeah.
Think about starting John Saunders at running back on the fantasy team this week, but other than that, we're fine.
Okay. Anyway. For wide receivers, top 10 for me, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Waddle, CeeDee Lamb, Zay Flowers, and Marquise Brown. Honorable mentions, Brandon Ayuk, Devontae Smith, Devonta Parker, and Tank Dell. So how much overlap do we have at wide receiver?
We got some. Tyreek Hill, also at the top of my list. Really, really hard not to. Justin Jefferson checking in at 2, Stephon Diggs at 3, Devontae Adams in a quasi-revenge game at 4, A.J. Brown at 5, Jamar Chase kind of reluctantly at 6, Amon-Ra St. Brown at 7, CeeDee Lamb at 8, Chris Olave at 9, and Deebo Samuel at 10. Notably not on that list is Cooper Kupp.
He's not on my list either, nor on my avoid list, but
he's on my avoid
people
list.
Who did make pardon?
Oh, he's making an appearance on my avoid list.
Okay. Well, that's really a good pick worth discussing. Justin Jefferson at the top of my avoid list. I think the Chiefs secondary is better than people think, and I don't see Minnesota scoring a lot of points there, hopefully for the sake of my fantasy teams with Kirk Cousins on them alone, but it's not about my fantasy teams. Garrett Wilson,
I mean, it is a little bit.
Devontae Adams, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, DJ Moore, Drake London, Christian Kirk, George Pickens, and Adam Thielen all on my avoid list this week, and dishonorable mention to Wandale Robinson, who had a lot of garbage time receptions last night, but not somebody I'd want to be starting this week, even though they will be probably facing a lot of garbage time again this week.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think you're right. As noted, my avoid list features one Cooper Kupp because I think that they are going to activate him. I think he is going to get on the field, and I think this is a terrible idea. I don't think it's a great matchup for it. I don't think he's healthy either. This hamstring thing is lingering. I have not seen any real signs that this is like we're at 100%. It's been a lot of, oh, we're not sure how this long this will last. We're not sure if he'll be ready. That doesn't instill me with a lot of confidence here. The fact that Matt Stafford's already banged up, our running backs are banged up, Tyler Higbee might not be able to catch a football. There's a lot of moving parts here that if Cooper Kupp is not perfect, they're going to have a real big problem. And I think we're going to force it. I don't want to see him get hurt again, but I don't think he's playing all these plays. So I'm staying away from Cooper Kupp. Maybe it comes back to bite me in the ass later, but I'm willing to risk it. also staying away from what?
No, go ahead. I'm just thinking that I would have a hard time starting him too. I might be a little less reluctant than you, but yeah, it could definitely come back.
I want no part of it. Yeah. I mean, I'm willing to live with the points on my bench. I only have him on one team, so really I'm talking real big for somebody who's got 8 fantasy football teams, but I'm not starting him. I don't even want to think about starting him. So we'll see how this works out. We'll be here in a week to see if I look like a genius. George Pickens, also on the avoid list. Let's avoid all of the Steelers. That's going to be a running theme. Alan Lazard, Darius Slayton, Curtis Samuel, Treylon Burks, Kendrick Bourne, Odell Beckham Jr. Again, I think he's going to be active. I don't think he's going to be worth it. Sky Moore, T. Higgins, who sounds like he's going to try to play through a fractured rib, which is a terrible idea. So staying away from a lot of the South teams and the AFC North.
How about the quarterback for this week?
Love Josh Allen this week. Josh Allen versus defensive Josh Allen. I think offensive Josh Allen's coming out on top. Patrick Mahomes at number 2.
Josh Allen had a sack the last time they played, didn't he?
Yes, he did. It's very confusing to watch these games, but I like it.
We should just do a split screen of the two of them.
I would actually I might be willing to pay extra for that. I would be very interested in that. I'm taking offensive, not offensive, but offensive Josh Allen to persevere over defensive Josh Allen. So he's at the top of my list this week, followed by Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson checking in at 3. Again, you can tell I'm really not picking the Steelers this week. Jalen Hurts at 4. Tua is coming in at 5. Kirk Cousins sneaking all the way up to 6. Anthony Richardson at 7. Jordan Love, Justin Fields, and C.J. Stroud rounding out the 10 here. How are you feeling about this list?
We have a good amount of overlap. I have Patrick Mahomes at the top of my list, followed by Josh Allen. Tua Tagovailoa, 3. Jalen Hurts, 4. Jared Goff, 5. Lamar Jackson, 6. C.J. Stroud, 7. Brock Purdy, 8. Jordan Love, 9. Russell Wilson, 10. And then honorable mention to Joshua Dobbs and Mac Jones, you're probably surprised to hear him on that list, but
I actually am.
About that later.
Yes. I like your optimism.
I think actually be smiling this week. We'll see.
Whoa.
That might be
one
of the 4 games that we get to disagree on if there are over under of 10.
I'm thinking that might be one. I don't hate it, though. My avoid list features Russell Wilson. I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with the whole thing. He's turning into the Falcons for me. Also, staying away from Trevor Lawrence is a terrible matchup. Zach Wilson, again, we had some signs of life last week. He's going to Denver. That's going to be a little more of an issue. Matthew Stafford, not entirely sure he can walk. I am sure he can probably win a football game if he wants to, but I don't know if I want to put all my hopes and dreams of my fantasy team on his shoulders. Staying away from Dak Prescott, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell and whoever else wants to play quarterback for the Vegas. Also sitting Ryan Tannehill, Desmond Ridder, and Derek Carr / et al. In New Orleans.
Kirk Cousins actually snuck his way up to the top of my avoid list this week.
I think we feel different about that game. Yes.
I don't know that we feel differently about who's going to win, but certainly about how competitive Minnesota might be, but we'll see. Kirk Cousins at the top of my list. Trevor Lawrence, I agree with you. Don't like the matchup, even though it is in London, and they have the advantage of having been there for a week already. Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, Ryan Tannehill, Kenny Pickett, Bryce Young, Desmond Ridder, and then the Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, whoever.
The experience.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
Tight ends is some good options this week. Travis Kelce may not have scored against the Jets, but still
winning the hearts of America.
Prospects. Yes. There'd be a lot of people that have never watched a football game before wearing his jersey, and that's okay.
This is true.
Sam LaPorta too. Mark Andrews 3, Dallas Goedert 4, George Kittle 5, Dalton Kincaid 6, Hunter Henry 7, Dalton Schultz 8, Zach Ertz 9, and Luke Musgrave, if he's healthy enough to play for the Packers this week, rounding out my top 10 recommendations for tight end.
Okay. I have T.J. Hockenson at the top of my list. Travis Kelce is actually 3 on my list. Mark Andrews coming in at number 2. Evan Ingram and Sam Laporte are rounding out the top 5, followed by George Kittle, Darren Waller, Zach Ertz, Jake Ferguson, and Cole Kmet. Believe it or not, old Cole Kmet's in the lineup.
Cole Kmet also on my list, but the other one, T.J.
Yeah.
Hockenson at the top of my avoid list.
Oh.
A trend here. Darren Waller, Kyle Pitts, Evan Engram, Hayden Hurst, Cole Kmet, Chigga Conquo, Tyler Conklin, Darnell Washington, and Michael Mayer, and hopefully you're not having to start any of those lost 4 or 5 names, even if you do have bye week spots to fill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. See, Luke Musgrave's on my avoid list. He's on your list. Dalton Kincaid, Tyler Conklin, Jonnu Smith, Tyler Higbee, Irv Smith Jr., Dalton Schultz, Logan Thomas, Kylan Granson, Pat Freiermuth. Like you said, there's really a drop-off once you get to that second tier of tight ends. So not a lot of trouble coming up with the avoid list, unfortunately.
How about defenses? Who do you like this week?
I mean, there's some good matchups. I really like the Ravens defense an awful, awful lot because I really don't like the Steelers offense. Dolphins, the Commanders, the 49ers, the Jets, the Colts, the Lions, the Saints, Patriots. I might even get crazy and throw the Packers in there too.
For me, my list has Washington at the top of it, followed by Detroit, Miami, Green Bay, Baltimore, Denver, Buffalo, Houston, Indy, and Kansas City. Those are the 10 defenses I would most like to start this week.
I actually have Kansas City on my avoid list of defenses this week. So I think the pictures are coming together of this game for us. I'm staying away from the Chiefs, the Bears, the Titans, the Texans, Bills, Cardinals, Eagles, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos. Yeah, not loving a lot of guys this week.
So I also have a rather a longer than 10 list of defenses I'm trying to avoid this week. Minnesota would be at the top of that. Jacksonville, the Giants, Carolina, Dallas, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, New Orleans, Cincinnati, the Rams, the Jets, and the 49ers, all defenses that I would hope that I don't have to start this week.
We all hope. We all hope we don't have to start them.
Okay.
Bad matchups out there.
Yeah, let's hop right into game predictions. The Thursday night game has the hapless Bears against the slightly less hapless Commanders. And I just think Chicago, you know, they seem to find new ways to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat from the jaws of victory every week. And I think that will continue this week. I think Sam Howell will have a nice game against the Bears defense. I'll go with Washington 24-14 here.
I'm going to go with the Bears 24-23, a barn burner. The field goal is going to go in their favor this time. I want Justin Fields to do well so badly. This Bears team, like, they could actually be a real team. That game just about killed me last week. It was terrible. It was so bad. Just Thursday night is a place for redemption because all of the weird happens, and this is their time. Chicago's getting their win this week. Mark it down.
Okay. Jacksonville is
out to London.
Quote unquote the road team this week, but they are in London again. And Buffalo, technically the home team, no Bills Mafia this week, or at least not maybe a different sounding Bills Mafia than usual. But I think regardless, they're going to win this
soccer
game pretty
hooligans.
Easily.
like that.
Yeah, it could be. I don't think Jacksonville is going to put up too much of a fight here. I'm going to go with Buffalo. If they can dismantle Miami the way they did Sunday, they are, to me, an easy pick here. I'll say Buffalo 31, Jacksonville 21.
Yeah, I went Buffalo 34, Jacksonville 27. So we're kind of right on the same line. This Jacksonville is a little banged up. Buffalo is riding high right now, and even though they had to get their butt all the way to London, I think they're going to be just fine.
Okay. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Yes, it's a home game for the Steelers, but they might not think so by the end of the game. I think Baltimore is slightly more healthy team and much more talented team at this point. I think this will be a fairly easy game for the Ravens. I'll go with the Lamar Jackson's 27 over the, I hope it's Kenny Pickett's, but it might be the Mitchell Trubisky's 17 this week.
The Fighting Mitchie Poos. Yeah, not sure who it's going to be, but I'm very sure I don't want to start whoever it is. I've got Baltimore winning 28-13. This will be a hard-hitting game. Baltimore, half their team's already hurt anyway, but the score is making it look closer than it certainly will be. This is not going to be fun for a lot of people.
Okay, next game doesn't appear on paper, at least, to be too close to the game or a good matchup, but hapless Carolina traveling to the Detroit, who, you know, been really impressive in a couple Thursday night wins against the Chiefs and the Packers on the road. They stumbled in their first home game of the season, but this week I think, you know, they'll have a pretty easy time with Carolina. I'll go with Detroit 30 over Carolina 17.
I've got Detroit 31 over Carolina 17. I think after the game last week, Jared Goff got a little fired up, being called poor man's version of anything. I like seeing a little fire. That was nice. We haven't seen that in a while. I think the Lions, they drank the Kool-Aid. They drank the Motor City Dan Campbell Kool-Aid. Everyone's just nuts. I love it. The energy is good. They're at home. Carolina's got no chance.
Hey, Houston, who is looking better than I thought they would, and C.J. Stroud in particular looking better than I thought he would. And, you know, Nico Collins, Tank Dell are both established themselves as good receivers and still waiting for Damian Pierce to have a breakout game this season. I think he might get it this week against Atlanta. Atlanta, I just don't know how they're going to get anything going on offense, which is sad given that they have some – you know, uber talented players like Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. But I just think Houston looks to me like the better team. Yeah, I just, Houston, I'll go with Houston 27-21 here.
Yeah, I went Houston 28-17. I mean, we're going, what is it, year three, year four of my last time I picked the Falcons. There were signs maybe this would be the year, but yeah, Desmond Ridder isn't the answer. The offensive scheme right now is not the answer. They have so much talent, but they just can't quite put it all together. And Houston, I love everything about what C.J. Stroud is doing. I think he's going to keep getting better. As long as they can keep him healthy, that would be nice. But this won't be a super competitive game either, which is kind of a bummer.
The next game, which I think will be our second disagreement, New England at home against New Orleans. New England obviously embarrassed on the road against the Cowboys this past week.
Yep.
I think they're going to take that out on the Saints. Alvin Kamara is back, and that's good news for the Saints, but not sure how healthy Derek Carr is or how good Jameis Winston is if Derek Carr isn't healthy. So might be a little bit of an upset, but I'm going to go with the Patriots by a field goal here, 27-24.
Shockingly, you were correct. I'm not taking the Patriots to win this game. I like the storyline. I like the idea of it. I think that Saints defense is too good for Mac Jones to have a bounce back game on. And somebody's going to play quarterback. Three people might play quarterback. I don't entirely know who's going to run the offense, but Alvin Kamara is going to run the running game, and that'll be enough. So I've got New Orleans winning 24-20. I'm worried about the Patriots. They're in a bad way here.
not so worried about them. If bad things happen to them, I'm not going to be upset. anyway. Miami,
you're in the fourth inning of the show.
Speaking of AFC East teams, Miami has been involved in two blowout games in a row on the short end this past week, on the long end.
You think they're going to go for three?
Denver game. I think there will be another blowout this week, not as convincing as the Denver blowout. I think it's not going to be pretty. Unfortunately, my Giants are going to be the victims this time. And
I'm sorry about
that.
That
Miami wins 31-17, and could easily be a lot worse than that. But we'll see if maybe the Giants' defense shows up and Giants' offensive line can keep the Dolphins' defense off of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, let's get out of turnstile mode and, you know, try to slow somebody down. That might help things. Not an expert, but I think it might. I am also taking Miami to win this game. Listen, I have run into some tough turnstiles, particularly in the subway. But I've got Miami winning 34-20, so we're same two-score deficit here. Unfortunately, I'd love to be wrong about it, but I just don't see a way short of like an ankle transplant for Saquon this happening and, you know, an offensive line transplant. But sorry about your Giants, Sherpa.
Okay. They might have, if the season goes bad.
Soon it'll be a bye week for them. They can't hurt you on a bye week.
No, that's true.
Very good.
Well, the bye.
Okay. Oh, God.
Tennessee at Indianapolis. This was one of the more difficult games for me to pick this week. I know, at least, you know, based on last week's results, you would think, oh, maybe Tennessee has an easy time. But Indianapolis played the Rams tough. The Rams played a little better than we think. So I think Indianapolis at home, especially if they get Jonathan Taylor back, I like them in this game. I'll go with Indy by a field goal, 24-21.
I've got Indy winning 26-23. I think Derrick Henry keeps them in this, but the Indy defense is pretty decent, and Anthony Richardson seems to have the kind of killer instincts that Ryan Tannehill seems to lack at this point, which I'm not sure how it happens, but he seems to want the ball with the game online and try to do something about it, and sometimes it's a positive thing. So I'm going to say that's going to tip it in their favor.
Okay. Another game which I would have been surprised to pick this way early in the season before all the Joe Burrow news started hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm.
But Cincinnati not looking good. Joe Burrow,
no.
I don't know if he's really helping them much. I mean, certainly he's probably the most talented quarterback they have. Do you really want to be trusting your offense to Jake Browning? I don't think so. Certainly not your fantasy offense. But on the road at Arizona, I think Arizona is, you know, they had a nice treat not to have to play an NFC East team last week. And, you know, I think they'll also be happy this week at home against Cincinnati, and I'll pick them by the field goal, 27-24. I mean, yeah, they couldn't quite hang with San Francisco, but I think Cincinnati, a banged-up Cincinnati team, is not anywhere near in San Francisco's league.
Yeah. I agree. I have Arizona winning 23-17, so a little bit more margin of victory. But at some point, Cincinnati's got to think about if this offensive line cannot get better, like, is it worth having your quarterback behind them? Like, sorry, Jake Browning, but, like, your football life might be worth less than Joe Burrow's. The team might realize that at some point. Apparently, the Giants do not subscribe to this theory, but just – I mean, how long do you let a guy get out there and maybe die? Like, it seems dangerous. It seems dangerous to have somebody who can't move behind an offensive line that's that terrible. But we'll find out. Maybe he comes out first for a million years.
I think if I got sacked once, I wouldn't know where I was for a week, let alone 11 times.
Yeah, I would look like Jamal Adams did when he got up from his concussion. He tried to stand up to the ground. Like, it was bad. I'd be done.
The undefeated Philadelphia Eagles, who are not as impressive in my mind, at least, as the undefeated San Francisco 49ers. But they do I mean, one thing you'll say, even though they're still trying to figure out, you know, their new offensive and defensive coordinators and still seem to try to give games away, so far they haven't succeeded in doing that. And
they've
this
tried hard.
Week should be another pretty good test with the Rams, who are better than I thought. But I'll go with Philadelphia to maintain their unbeaten streak. And I'll say Eagles win it by a field goal, 27-24 on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to take Eagles 27-24. I've got the same pick on the road, but if the Rams were healthier, I think I'd be more comfortable picking the upset. I really could see this game going either way, but I think Philly just finds just enough at the last second vis-a-vis overtime with Commanders, but just enough to get over the hump. They don't necessarily deserve to win this game, though, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, Kansas City at Minnesota. Can't wait to hear your pick on this one. I think Kansas City wins this in a romp. You know, I think their defense is better than what people thought it was going to be, and I think that'll give their offense a chance to catch up. And Minnesota's defense has been a horror show again this season,
yeah,
which forces them to throw a lot. But again, I don't think they're going to have quite the success against Kansas City that they've had against some other teams putting up points, and I think their defense continues to be a horror show. I'll go with Kansas City here, 34-21.
I am going to take Kansas City. I'm taking them to win 31-28. I think that if anyone but Kirk Cousins was the Minnesota quarterback, I would be picking them to win this game. Yes, there were not a lot of reasons to on paper, but this is exactly the kind of game that happens to Kansas City. This is exactly what happens where we all write Kirk Cousins off as a waste of space and he only throws to the other team, and then all of a sudden he's going to come out and throw for like 6 touchdowns to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and all of a sudden Cam Akers is going to be running all over the backfield. Something weird is coming here. It's just too easy. It's too easy and too good to pick Kansas City. I'm worried about them. I'm putting them on upset alert, but I'm saying it's just going to be very close. 31-28. They're going to steal one in Minnesota. Hopefully Taylor Swift's not coming.
Okay, Denver hosting the Jets. Both of these teams heading in the wrong direction.
Yikes.
But, Denver at least has won a game recently, and at home, and I'll go with them just because they're at home, really. But I don't know if the Zach Wilson experience will continue. Hopefully for the Jets it does, but I'm still going to pick Denver in this game, 27-20.
Yeah, I went with the Jets 21, Denver 17. I'm really not sold on the Broncos. I'm not sold on anything happening here. I think the Jets have pieces that work, and they're figuring out how to work with Zach Wilson, you know, his limitations, what he can do. And I think their defense will keep them in this. Russell Wilson's going to turn the ball over once or twice. Zach Wilson will probably do that too, but I think his will be less costly. I think the defense is there to bail him out. It won't be pretty. This is probably not fun to watch, but I think the Jets will steal a win here.
Okay, San Francisco hosting the Cowboys. I think this will be a good game, and I think it'll be a lot closer than, you know, you might think initially, but I'm going to stick with San Francisco winning this at home by a field goal in a high-scoring game. I'll say San Francisco 30, Dallas 27.
I went with San Francisco 27, Dallas 23. I think the defenses are going to be a really big factor here. I'm curious to see which version of each defense shows up. I think it'll be a hard-hitting game, and offense is going to certainly be at a premium, but I think San Francisco just is more dynamic right now and certainly looks like they're gelling a whole heck of a lot better than the Cowboys are. So I'd love to be wrong about this, but I'm taking San Francisco 27, Dallas 23.
Okay, and then the Monday night game, Green Bay traveling to Las Vegas. As you mentioned, it's the Devontae Adams revenge game.
The Carlson family revenge game. I know how you love kickers. This probably didn't make your radar. But brothers Anders and Daniel Carlson are kickers for the Packers and the Las Vegas, the Raiders, respectively. So we're going
to
have brother kickers.
Brother kickers in history,
other.
I guess the Gogolax and the Zendejas and the Grammaticas maybe, but
this is literally the only reason to watch this game, people.
I don't know.
The brothers Carlson.
Green Bay, to me, I want to see if Jordan Love can bounce back and have a better rebound game after the debacle on the Thursday night there against the Lions. I think he will. It's never easy to win on the road, but they, the Raiders are so banged up and so kind of awful right now that I think Green Bay wins this pretty easily. I'm picking them 28-17.
I'm taking Green Bay 23-21, and that would mean Anders Carlson is going to be kicking the game-winning field goal, not his brother Daniel. So kicker is a big factor here. In Vegas, they're both perfect on the season. Things are going to get weird. It could be Thursday night level weird. That's my prediction.
And so before we started the game predictions, I set the over-under at 10. You said you would take it over on how many of the 14 games we would agree on. And
we're,
you probably counted this too as we're going along, but we agreed on 11 of the 14, so the over wins it.
Everybody be warned, we're probably near a solar eclipse. Something is coming on the horizon.
Well, I'm guessing we're still not going to agree on all 14 or 13 or 16 games in a week yet this
probably
season,
not.
But we'll see. It can always hold.
Yeah.
But I'm not changing my picks just to make that happen.
No.
So I think that week three when we agreed on 15 of the 16, that was pretty much as good as it's ever going to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a very honest 15. Like, no hedging a bet there. Those were for real picks. For better or for worse, they were for real picks.
And just for the record, we got 10 and 11 respectively right that week. We agreed on 16, so it did seem that our agreeing on things was a pretty good sign for actual outcomes. So anyway, why don't you hit us up with some DFS recommendations, and then we'll skedaddle.
Yeah, we gotta get Blue out of timeout. So just a few parting gifts for you, some value picks for your daily fantasy lineup, because again, we get you covered on all bases here: season long, dynasty, fantasy, water cooler talk, daily fantasy. You want to cover a point spread? Talk to us. We got this figured out. If you're looking to pay for the premium players, and we all know who those are, these are the guys that will get you there and still get you points, win you some cash. We all like that. At quarterback, have you heard me talk about it enough today? I love C.J. Stroud. And the price, I really love C.J. Stroud. Joshua Dobbs is a great deal this week. And if you're feeling really risky, Zach Wilson isn't going to hurt you. He might not help you a ton, but he's not going to hurt you, and especially not at $4,000. It's a great deal. At running back, Kyren Williams, as long as he's healthy enough to play, I think is going to have a big day. David Montgomery, absolutely no reason not to put him in your lineup at that price. And Devon Achane is really just stealing the show out in Miami. It's no sign of slowing down, especially if there's going to be garbage time. I'd like to have him on my roster. At wide receiver, Tank Dell in Jacksonville, we talked a little bit about earlier. Moving along on the Arizona bandwagon, Michael Wilson, I think, is an interesting pick. The price is oh so right. Jordan Addison, and if you're looking to spend up just a little bit, Chris Olave, I think, is going to bounce back this week. At tight end, Dalton Schultz, we talked about kind of resurging here in Houston. He and CJ Stroud seem to have a little bit of a rapport now. I really like Cole Kmet an awful lot, but I have apparently also become a big Bears apologist, so there is that. But price-wise, is great. Great pick for your lineup. At defense, if you can afford the Saints, take them, but the Patriots, the Titans, Commanders, and the Lions all going to be pretty good values for you and are certainly going to put up some points. So we've got you covered six ways to Sunday, really every possible angle, but because 1 hour and change is just not enough, find us all week long to, of course, listen again, study up, whatever you want to do, listen to past episodes, see, did they really agree on 15 games? We did. You can listen to it in the archives, anywhere you find your favorite podcast. We'll be back with you next week from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday night. Again, stream us live, listen after the fact, whatever is easier for you. We are here for you, in your fantasy endeavors. And you can find us on social media all week long on Twitter at the number 4, THN Inches Show, at JKIM16, and fantasy underscore Sherpa. You can also email us at the number 4, THN Inches Show, at gmail.com. That's the number 4, THN Inches Show, at gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.